Yeah.
Oh, I got it.
Yeah.
Again,
you get it?
Not
you
super deep in the Urban Dictionary.
No. But, you know what flippy floppies are?
Flippy floppies?
Yeah.
Like for your feet?
See, that's what you might think. Yeah. You should check it out in the Urban Dictionary.
All right.
Oh, wow.
That's like my one like trump card, you know what I mean? Like I know what that means and you guys don't, so it makes me feel kind of cool.
Yeah, that'll work.
Yeah.
7 p.m. in the Southland. As we approach.
Thank you, Christopher.
32,
thank you, Christopher.
32 we have done so far.
Do the Sliwa After Dark intro.
Oh, God. Do we have Chinatown? Yeah. 32,400 seconds we have done thus far on a commercial-free Celebration Wednesday right here.
Whose idea was this?
For the we got a moment. Yeah, we've got the Sliwa After Dark. Go ahead and play that. Oh, it makes me so happy when I hear that.
Honestly, everything the station does after, say, 4 o'clock should be this.
It should be themed with the Chinatown theme song from the movie. All right, KSPN Los Angeles, KRDC AM 1110, Pasadena, Los Angeles. The Cambros take you after dark on a commercial-free Celebration Wednesday in just a moment.
Good evening, Laker fans, and welcome to Crypto.com Arena on what could be a historic night.
Will be.
Rudy Ortiz, and I'm from Lancaster, California.
Congratulations, King. Let's go.
Justin Gonzalez from Lake Elsinore, California. Hey, man, great respect. 20 years, 20 plus years doing this, man, and I hope you break the record tonight. Deserve it all. Hard work, dedication pays off, man, and just congrats to you.
Picked up by Westbrook. Here come the Lakers 4-on-2. LeBron down the middle to the rim and in. 6 points away. Westbrook to LeBron. Put it up and in. 4 points away. 32 in the game for LeBron.
I'm Zach Khalifa. I'm from Australia, Sydney.
Australia, look at that.
Congratulations, King.
I came all the way from Australia to see you break the record.
Just to watch the record. Can't wait. So excited.
Dominique Corsoff from Rancho Cucamonga, California. Congratulations, King. Hey, LeBron, I've been your biggest fan, one of your biggest fans ever since high school. I'm glad to see you break the record right here in L.A.
Here come the Lakers with 25 seconds remaining in the quarter. Westbrook with it. Give it to LeBron at the right elbow. LeBron, one-on-one against Kenrick Williams. Backing him in. Turns. Shoots. Scores! There it is!
Oh, hey, the new king in town.
Oh, hell! The new king in town! Young and old, gather round!
Young and old, gather round.
From one iconic Laker to another.
The king is now on top of his throne.
Congratulations, King.
Congratulations, King.
Congratulations, King.
Congratulations to LeBron James, making history last night at Crypto.com.
LeBron James has passed the captain.
Today, we celebrate the king with a commercial-free Celebration Wednesday. Celebrating the king making history with 38,388 straight seconds of non-stop, commercial-free, mega sports talk. A commercial-free Celebration Wednesday on the home of the king, 710 ESPN.
And the marathon continues.
Yes. How many more seconds?
I don't know.
Because we're done at exactly 38,388. As far as I know.
He was kidding.
I wasn't sure, so I'm like, you know.
Brian is fully aware, and we want to make sure the audience is fully aware.
I have an appointment.
I'm just saying, we got, you know, Cappy just finished. I got to deal with that for 3 hours, so right. I wasn't sure.
Laura is in no mood for people pretending they don't know what the F is going on. She deals with this with Kaplan.
On a daily.
Every single day.
Cappy actually doesn't.
Right.
True.
So Laura actually, I think, takes some comfort knowing that there are some people who understand what's going on.
I'm just saying, he didn't know when Amanda sent out that email. He was like, I don't know. And we had to explain to him. It was a whole thing.
Andy Kamenetsky, Brian Kamenetsky taking over for Beto and Kaplan as part of this commercial-free marathon. which began as a celebration of LeBron James, Brian, but all of a sudden has shifted into the Lakers done did something.
I thought it was going to be you be telling people that it's shifted into me looking up what Cappy knows about the Urban Dictionary, but no, it
don't
is the
do
Lakers.
It. Don't do it.
No, it's
don't.
Too late.
No. Oh.
It's too late. I already scrolled
it.
Down.
I wish no. I had it.
You can't unsee it.
Mm-mm.
No.
Oh. Without okay, I have not looked.
It's
it
also
up.
Not surprising.
No.
This
no,
is the only term he knows.
We're not going to mention it again either. What the term
oh,
is?
No.
Oh no.
No. No. No.
Hmm. I agree.
I don't want anyone looking it up.
No.
I would like to save all the people out there.
Do you not? Okay. Just for clarification, I'm not going to say what it is. Do you not want us looking it up? For the station's benefit, for Brian and my
oh,
benefit.
Oh no, I just don't want people to be scarred.
Ooh. Yeah.
I don't want them to see what it is.
Ooh, it's that bad.
It's not good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then it makes you think things, which is worse.
Yeah, and then like you get it stuck in your head and then who knows how long it'll be stuck there.
It ain't shoes.
Does it exist?
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
It's not. It's not anywhere near what you would think it would be.
Okay, last question, then I'll drop it. Does it explain a lot about Cappy?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Absolutely.
That's all I need to know.
Everything with Cappy is projection. I think we can all agree.
He's like... very warped. That poor child's mind.
Oh, my goodness.
I feel sorry for his children.
Who's the person who even named that? Anyway, yes, Andy, to your point, your larger point.
Transitioning to a trade.
Yes. Trading that topic for this one, the Lakers, we have been waiting to see if the Lakers would do something after the Rui Hachimura thing. The Kyrie Irving thing didn't work out, but this is a big deal. This very well could be the biggest trade that happens at the trade deadline. Lakers reacquiring D'Angelo Russell from the Minnesota Timberwolves, along with Jared Vanderbilt, power forward, really good defender from Utah, and Malik Beasley, sort of a 2-3, good scorer off the bench, good shooter. So the Lakers have significantly improved their offense. They only give up Russell Westbrook, who many fans probably won't be that disappointed to see go. And
I'll put out a poll and check.
Yeah,
but
well,
I'm pretty sure.
I don't want to speak for all of Los Angeles, but. Russ and Juan Toscano-Anderson and Damian Jones and one first-round pick. One. Yeah. So they did all this. They got three players for one first-round pick.
Yeah, the reports from Adrian Wojnarowski and Zach Lowe is that it's a lightly protected first-round pick going to Utah. It's the 2027. It's top one through four. But if it's not, if it falls into the top four, I mean, excuse me, if the pick to the Jazz is not conveyed in 2027. If it falls in the top four, the pick immediately converts to a 2027 second round pick. There's no more lingering after that. There's no more waiting to see what becomes of next year's pick. All of that,
it's
done.
It's done. And let's be honest here. We've seen what happens when the Lakers are lottery eligible and could get a pick from one through four.
Yep.
They had 13 consecutive number two picks. And I think, look, if they are that bad when the 2027 draft comes around, a good chance they hold on to that pick. You know, frozen envelopes. I believe in them.
Yeah. Well, as we've talked about many times over the years, because of hashtag basketball reasons, hashtag never forget, the league actually owed this to the Lakers to, in my totally unsourced opinion, fix the draft for them for several years in a row in order to draft D'Angelo Russell, Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, all the pieces that eventually really turned into Anthony Davis. The league owed the Lakers this because they overstepped their boundaries when they vetoed the Chris Paul trade. But as you said, Brian, this is a big deal
for
the Lakers.
Let me ask you this, because the Lakers are 25-30. They're going to play tomorrow night against the
Bucks.
The Bucks. That is a difficult game, even when you have a full roster. You know, LeBron even was kind of rubbing his foot yesterday, so you don't know how he's feeling. Let's say they lose that game. You are now in a situation where you bring in three guys, really, I do think, improving their roster in a pretty significant way. But you're six games under 500. You're probably going to be at least 2.5 games out of just to the play-in. But one of the teams you're chasing is Utah. So they're, you know, downgrading a little bit. The Warriors are now without Steph Curry for a little while. How much better do you think this can make them?
I think it actually makes them better. I'm not going to go so far as to say that they're all of a sudden going to pick themselves up to four seed, first round home court advantage, that sort of thing. But I feel like they're giving themselves a real chance in this thing because, A, like you talked about before, there are a lot of different things that they pick up skill set wise with D'Angelo Russell, with Malik Beasley, with Jared Vanderbilt, all things that they've needed, whether you're talking about shooting, whether you're talking about perimeter defense, whether you're talking about somebody now that would take over some of that playmaking that you had looked for from Russell Westbrook. But they also, Brian, just needed an injection of some life. I think they needed
That's an injection of purpose.
They needed to feel like they were playing for something. Because I'll tell you, ever since Anthony Davis came back, whatever was supposed to come from his return, that ain't happened yet.
And it really came to a head on Tuesday because the energy in that building was bizarre. Because you look at what's happening on the court with LeBron, and we're going to obviously talk about that, and we got, you know, Ali Clifton from Spectrum Sports Center goes back all the way to Cleveland with LeBron, and we're hoping to have Jovan Buha, you know, all coming up before we're done here at 9 o'clock. Like, there was this celebration going on and this acknowledgement of incredible basketball history going on. And meanwhile, if you're following on social media, there's like Anthony Davis not watching LeBron play. And then, you know, the report from Woj that Darvin Ham and Russell Westbrook got into it at halftime of the game on Tuesday. And it's just everything about the energy with the actual team was wonky and needed to be fixed. And this is like the one thing, too, that Darvin has been really good all year long, has gotten the, you know, tough times. Everyone buys in. Everyone pulls the same direction. Everyone plays with energy. They never give up on games. And blah. But the last couple days felt off.
Well, especially, too, I think, like, ever since AD's been back, it's felt like the energy on this team has dropped. And I don't know if it's because they had to expend so much energy just trying to stay in it without AD. And all things considered, they did really well during that period with no AD, no Lonnie Walker, no Austin Reeves, occasionally no LeBron. They did as well as you could reasonably expect. And it has felt like AD's return in a lot of ways has been this letdown. You know, they are 2-4 since that return. They're 2-3 in games that he played. The two wins, one of them required overtime against the Knicks. The other one was like a last second, I don't want to say miracle, but last second, a lot of good things happening down the stretch against the Pacers. And AD was incredible in the last minute, but kind of absent.
They're
for
sort of invisible, right, for the rest of it.
And it's almost been like these guys have seen AD back and they're like, this is it. Like, this is it. We're the same team. And if we remain the same team after the deadline, what are we doing? Like, what are we doing this season? What are we doing big picture? Like, what are we doing? They needed to make a deal.
Because
like
that's
this.
The question that, like, Lakers fans are trying to figure out. Like, what? LeBron isn't Kobe. LeBron doesn't, you know, for all the love that was rightly, you know, given to him in the building last night from Lakers fans, and we've heard it, you know, on the network, you know, the testimonials from people who were there and around and watching and giving their congratulations. It's not like he hasn't built up Kobe-type goodwill in this city, and it's an impossible task. But even if you're, you know, you're like, eh, he's not really my guy, but you still, it's like he's here. You've got him. You've got Anthony Davis. Both of these guys, in theory, performing at a level that is way up there, you know, in terms of what's there. You know, LeBron's been delivering it for most of the year now. I mean, are you going to, if you're not going to try to make the team competitive around them, why do you have them at all?
Yeah, that's something that I know you and I have talked about a lot on the Locked On Lakers podcast, which we host
14 minutes in. 14 minutes, actually, bit of, I thought, relatively restrained.
5 days a week. You can find it anywhere you get your podcast. Oh, yes. Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher,
nothing
all of them.
Nothing behind a paywall?
Nothing behind a paywall whatsoever. There's also a YouTube component as well. And I can promise you, over the next 1 hour and 45 minutes of commercial-free radio.
Commercial-free, it is not, my eye.
Yeah, it is not. That is a commercial you'll be hearing a lot. Right. But
they meant commercials other people have paid for.
But like, as far as that question of what are they doing, you know, like, if you're not going to be investing in the team in some way, what is the point of having LeBron? What is the point of having AD? Are you doing this just because, you know, box office, attention, you're fearful of irrelevancy, you don't know how to build a team unless you're grabbing obvious stars? Like, what are you doing? And, you know, I'm not saying that they needed to just make any type of big deal for the sake of making it, because that's dumb. But, you know, that's how you end up with Russell Westbrook and having to unload Russell. That was a dumb deal. There was
really a bad idea.
The reasons that wasn't going to work were really obvious. And, you know, you could talk yourself into the, you know, glass half full version of the upside version. But so much had to work perfectly in order for that thing to shake out right. But like, you don't want to make a dumb deal for the sake of performance, you know, to show fans that you're going to do something, but you kind of need to do something.
You gotta do something. And like, you know, cause like fans are getting, look, we've been interacting with Lakers fans for like 15 years now.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, we go back to when like comment sections were brand new. People didn't know how to behave. Yeah,
we heard
to
everything
now.
You had to say about Kwame and Smush.
Yeah. And like, people are upset. And people are frustrated. It's like, this team has not, like, I know they won a title. And I'm not one of these, like, bubble title asterisk people. Like, it's a title. They won a championship. But, like, the stuff around it, the years before the championship, the time since the championship, they've been one playoff. Like, two, they've been to the playoffs twice in 9 years, I think it is. That's bad.
Yeah.
That's really bad.
Well, it's also, too, the LeBron era has been so weird in a lot of ways. It's been so schizophrenic. It's everything from a championship to missed playoffs with very little in between. And it was seeming like this could end up, and still could end up, the third missed playoff season of 5 years with LeBron. Like, you need to feel like there's something going on. Like, the urgency that LeBron feels, that he has been very, very unsubtle, very, as I like to say, passive-aggressive, letting the brass know what he wants. Like, fans are in his corner on that, even if they're not devoted to LeBron the way they were to Kobe or to Magic or Shaq, Kareem, whatever. They don't want their time wasted either.
What I think is great about this, too, is, like, LeBron doesn't want to go anywhere. He's 30. Like, he's older now. Like, I don't like traveling and being away from my family and doing something. I like, he's got a killer house, and you know they say LA is a great place to live if you can afford it. He can. He's all right. Solid financially. Like, why he doesn't want to leave LA to go play two seasons in, you know, pick a city, Chicago or Boston or Sacramento or somewhere where he can go win one more title, be away from his kids, be away for something that's not going to do a thing for his legacy.
And I can tell you this, he doesn't want to be a Clipper. Like, that's actually a way you become unpopular in LA. If he goes from the Lakers to the Clippers just for the sake of staying in LA, that is how you become unpopular in this city. Ask any Clipper who's gone to a Dodger game and gotten booed for nothing other than just being a Clipper.
So, like, he's been kind of begging. Like, please make it so I don't have to go anywhere. Please give me a credible team to work with. And what I like about this deal, and, you know, even, like, you go back to the Hachimura thing and all the, like, D'Angelo Russell has been an all-star, but he's not a star. And he's actually on an expiring contract. And there's no guarantee he's even going to be here next year. Malik Beasley, solid bench player. Jared Vanderbilt, solid bench player. Guys, you know, who are, you know, young, fill roles and are decent, but these are not star players. And, you know, Rui Hachimura is a guy they're taking kind of a flyer on and won't cost a ton. Fill out your rotation. But, like, you know, you mentioned it earlier, like, the Lakers have been prone, to say the least, to magical thinking. Like, if we just do, like, the rules of gravity do not apply to the Lakers in any meaningful way. And so if they just sort of Laker themselves enough times, like, something amazing will fall into their lap. They'll get the star. They'll do so. And that's part of the reason they turned down Buddy Hield last year and, you know, and brought in Russell Westbrook instead, because, like, that belief in star power above all else and the kind of the magical thinking of, if you have enough of those people, you'll be okay. Like, this tells me that that's not where they're going. They're looking at LeBron James and Anthony Davis, and they're finally going to do what I think a lot of people have hoped they would do, which is put decent players around them, give them some shooting, give them some, you know, you get much defense, but, you know, Russell can't defend and Malik Beasley's not that good, but give them, you know, space and see what happens with a credible roster.
Well, the other thing too, this is something that I've been wanting to see them do for a while, and I think this trade gives them, if nothing else, the opportunity towards doing it. I think it sets themselves up towards it. I've been wanting them to start looking at this deadline at building next year's team now. Like, and I don't mean that like punting this season. Like, I hope that bringing in D'Angelo Russell, bringing in Malik Beasley, bringing in Jared Vanderbilt, you know, other than Russell Westbrook being shipped out, nobody else was in the rotation. Like, Russ's absence is the only thing they will be accounting
and
for new.
And that's not necessarily a loss in the rotation that is going to hurt them. I mean, Russ did all kinds of, you know, played ball this year, and he came off the bench, and he did a, but, you know, it got off to a bit of a rough start. There was this sort of stretch in the middle where it was like, hey, this is kind of cool. But the last, like, 2.5 weeks have not been good.
No. And Russ has been playing like a guy, honestly, that had seemed preoccupied by the idea that he might not be here much longer. And, you know, maybe the idea that everybody in this city was rooting
Quick
for
sidebar,
him.
Quick sidebar, he's going to Utah. Yeah. That's where he ends up. The Jazz are expected to buy him out because of any city. Like, Russell Westbrook has a long-standing, and rightly so, feud, basically, with the fan base in Utah, because oftentimes those people are horrible.
Yeah.
So on this one, I'm squarely on Team Russ.
Interestingly, I've seen a couple reports of where Russ could end up a buyout.
That's
candidate.
My question, is where do you think he ends up?
Well, there's been reports of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there have been rumors about the Lakers potentially trading Russ to the Bulls for Zach LaVine or a DeMar DeRozan, Nikola Vucevic combo, and Russ going there. The other team, and this is fascinating.
Clippers. So petty. Clippers. So petty.
Petty love for it. Who?
Russ, for everyone. Like, it's just, I just, let me tell I love, you I am all for petty. I am very, the NBA is one of the pettier sports. I just think it's fantastic.
But here's the thing, though. And I'm talking about, there have been reports that the Clippers could be interested mm-hmm. in signing Russell Westbrook. They have a bad need at point guard. Like, this is not what you would have expected heading into the season, but this could be one of the few playoff aspirational teams where Russell Westbrook might actually start at point guard. Like, there's at least a possibility. The only way for petty to work is if the people you're being petty against, A, miss you,
yeah,
B, aren't thrilled at your decision. Like, if Russell Westbrook's going for petty, and I'm not saying this to take digs at Russ, I'm just being honest, he will not accomplish the petty by going to the Clippers. Every Laker fan on the planet is going to be stoked at the idea of him going to the Clippers.
I had forgotten, Carlo, how ugly that jersey is. Our friend Carlo is in with the purple and black pinstriped LeBron jersey from a couple years ago.
Do you remember that? It says Lake Show.
Yeah, that is a hideous, hideous jersey.
It looks like an Orlando Magic jersey that ended up in the wash with something purple.
Right, you didn't pay for that, did you?
Oh, no.
Okay, good.
I actually had to take the tag off.
I have a thing, though. I don't like, every year, my first like tweet of the first road game the Lakers play, or it used to be this way, when they wear the purple with the black piping down the side is to point out how much I hate it. So they have not, they've struggled a little bit with some of those third jerseys. I like the ones this year, though.
No, these look good.
So you like those Minneapolis ones?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
No.
What's wrong
simple,
with them?
Simple, pays tribute to history.
I mean, you can't have a snack in them afterwards because you ruin it.
It doesn't look that great to me. I like last year's better.
I found out yesterday at a meeting, and I can say this because we've got time, that my club kids club soccer team, they're changing to white jerseys next year.
Really?
I was livid.
Why?
Putting 10-year-olds in a white jersey. How many of these things do you expect me to buy? Nobody thinks these things through. You cannot keep that jersey clean. So one of them's black. Love that. Let's home jersey, black. Road jersey, black. just keep.
Honestly, man, black unis are a good look.
Then it's fine.
It's hard to screw up a black uni.
Post-game pizza. Keep your jersey on. It's
a
fine.
A lot of teams are wearing black at home, too. You know? So that's their version of white.
So I'm trying to figure out, though, how we can arrange it so the Lakers both make the playoffs and then play the Clippers. Because the Clippers, at this point, have kind of turned things around. They've won 8 of 10. They're the 4 seed, and they have a very good chance of reaching the 3. To play, you know, passing the Kings and reaching the 3, because a Lakers team that's rolling enough to make the playoffs, where Russell works out, Beasley works out, LeBron's rolling, AD's rolling, against the Clippers with Russell Westbrook perhaps playing a really large role on the team, like you say, that needs a point guard, we have been owed
the way to make this happen, don't talk about it. Treat this like Fight Club. We do not talk about this because we've been talking about this going back to 2006, the hallway series that was supposed to be between the Clippers with Elton Brand and Sam Cassell that took out Denver in the first round. The Lakers had that 3-1 lead over the Suns and ended up blowing that. Then we were promised like Kobe and Powell versus Lob City. Then we were promised AD and LeBron versus Kawhi and Paul George. Like, just don't talk about
it. It's the equivalent of LeBron versus Kobe. All we got were puppets.
We did. The puppets lied to us.
That's all we got. All we got were puppets.
Puppets were a bunch of damn liars. But just don't. Let's not even speak of this. That's how you make it happen. You don't speak
of it.
It
would be fun, though. I mean, just from a basketball storyline standpoint, to see Russ go to the Clippers. If I could pick a team for him. I mean, Laker fans want him to go to the Clippers because he thinks I'm sure they believe he will undo everything that they're doing over there. And I will say, integrating, I mean, he's played with Paul George before. So like that relationship, but like dropping Russell Westbrook into your Kawhi Leonard, Paul George lineup, that's not seamless.
As I say all the time, Russell Westbrook is the least blendable player, not just in the league, maybe like in NBA history. But getting back though to the point I was making before about the buyout stuff, I've been wanting to see the Lakers start looking to build next year's team now because ever since the championship year, they have had no continuity. And the team that they're bringing in now with the, if nothing else, they have to be thinking about re-signing D'Angelo Russell. They have a team option on Malik Beasley. You know, they will presumably look to re-sign Austin Reeves, presumably look to re-sign Rui Hachimura. Like, they might actually start building a team that will look very similar the next year. And that's important because winning a championship with a bunch of dudes who've never played with each other is exceptionally difficult.
LeBron is the longest tenured Laker at this point, and it's not even close. Is Austin Reeves the second or third? On his second year on the team, how many players have been on this team for 3 years?
Reeves is going to be tied.
Right.
That's Anthony Davis.
Anthony Davis, right, okay.
AD is the second.
Okay, who's third? It's guys who were here last year who are still here this year,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's Wenyen Gabriel, Austin Reeves, and if you really want to cheat the system, Dennis Schroeder. He had a gap year. But then he came back.
Yeah, but then Gabriel come in like in mid-year.
For this team, that makes you like a legacy.
Yeah. So I guess Austin Reeves might be the third guy.
As far as full seasons go.
Oh, look, I can see Funchy on a little screen. We really kicked Laura up the technology around.
Laura had to go walk around. She's been running the board for like.
No,
three
I understand.
Or four hours
I'm not.
Straight.
It's not a criticism. I just didn't realize we had this technological upgrade here where I can look at an iPad and see the board op now. That's really. It's nice. You look
thank
good.
You
look
you.
Good.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm not here a lot.
I mean, if you look past the glass,
showing
you can
why.
See us too. You know, you can raise well, up the seat a little bit. And
sometimes
then you
there's
see
a
us.
Glare.
You're not making the case to bring you in more.
No,
I'll tell you that much.
I mean, there's literally a glass like window where you could see us. I don't think you need
that's
the
been
iPad.
Here for years.
But
I came in spitting with the whole syphilis thing and Cappy. But I mean, I guess that wasn't enough. What
dude,
do you want
seriously, when you did that, I was like, I can't believe he said that. But then Cappy has been talking about antibiotics in the beginning of the year, so it kind of makes sense.
The last time I was in here working with Cappy, I was like, this is fun because all you do is whenever he says, I wonder if I should do this, you just say yes.
You just shouldn't, but you know,
right.
It's funny.
Of course, it's a terrible idea. Whatever it is he's suggesting is not something he should do,
right.
But it's good like for the rest of us.
That is true. That's why like Fonch always says, he's like, yo, every time I work with him, I don't know what I'm going to get, but that's what makes it fun.
Yeah, like right. Other people
so
have
fun.
Like,
so
you guys
fun.
Have responsibilities to keep him out of jail. I don't.
I do. I got to keep my job, so I got to keep him in line a little
bit.
It
becomes
bit, you
a
know?
Scheduling problem for you guys.
He's a grown man. He makes his own decisions.
Look, Funch knows soccer. This because he's produced Lakers pregame for years. It's a lot like working with Michael.
Oh, yes.
Michael Thompson will just wander off in the middle of shows.
Yes, he will. Yes.
He just takes off. And doesn't let you know that he left, doesn't let you know when he's coming back.
There's a reason. If you see Michael in the concourse before a game, he's got a little note that says, if found, please return to section 104 because he's supposed to be on the air. And we used to get in trouble too. They'd be like, try to keep Michael, like he hasn't talked about the game in 46 minutes. And it's like, first of all, they're like, 32 games under 500. What do you want from me? But also, too, it's like, if Michael Thompson wants to talk about rocket ships, I can't stop him.
Yeah, you get Michael back on the
show. Or he's going to give you a quiz on, like, Rhode Island or something.
Yeah, I mean, Mike, everybody knows this. Michael does as Michael does. Michael Thompson does what Michael Thompson wants to do.
True.
And the rest of you just work around him. And you know what? He's Michael. He gets away with right. It because everyone loves him.
And if by the yes. End of the pregame show, the listener is not entirely sure who the Lakers are playing that night.
That's fine, too.
That's part of it. And look,
we're probably going to lose anyway.
Sliwa will squeeze it in.
Yeah, right. I mean, Laura, some of these years, they won like 18 games.
I mean, we got to keep you guys entertained somehow, you know?
Hot right. Rocket ship talk was better than what we could offer.
His
anyway,
quizzes are amazing, though.
They're phenomenal.
I'm a very big history trivia person, so he hits my soul with them.
Well, Michael is very intellectually curious. Like, Michael finds just about everything interesting.
Yeah.
Particularly if it's not related to the thing you're supposed to be talking about.
True, yes.
He finds it incredibly interesting.
You just got to be careful because he goes a little off the rails. But I call him Theo Michael, like he's that uncle that you're like, you got to watch out for at the carne asada or the cookout, however you want to say it. Like for me, it's like he's Theo Michael. Like that's just what he does.
We have an Uncle Larry who is, he's phenomenal. He's been like a second father to us.
Theo Larry we call him.
Theo Larry.
Theo Larry, all right.
Yeah, Theo Larry.
Theo Larry.
And he's a great person, been wonderful to us his whole life. But he is a lot like Michael in the sense that he has no filter. He's all stream of consciousness. And nothing demonstrated this more than at the wake, the Shiva, I guess, for people who aren't aware what a Shiva is, it's basically a wake, for our paternal grandfather. Larry was at this thing, and someone goes up to him, doesn't know who Larry is, introduces themselves, says, you know, who are you? I'm their Uncle Larry. Where are you from? Denmark. He just decides to be from Denmark, starts talking about being from Denmark and what life is like over there, why he, you know, happens to be in the States at the time of this. This is, again, at like a wake, a Shiva. This is not like screwing around time, except for Larry, who just decided, you know what, that's fun.
Where is he really from?
St. Louis.
I'm not even sure he's ever been out of the country before.
I don't think he has.
He's from Denmark. That's my dad, y'all.
Is he like that?
My dad.
He's from
Denmark? No. He has the craziest stories. And when he meets people, I always said my dad should have been in entertainment some way, somehow. But he has like the craziest stories and people buy it. They're like waiting for the next word to come out of his mouth. And I'm like, you know, he's totally BSing you, right? They're like, no, but it's true. He knows what he's talking about. I'm like, this man has no idea what he's talking about, but he sold you.
I have found that I have that problem sometimes where people don't know that I was that was a joke. Like the delivery is a little too dry sometimes and they're just not sure. That happens. Just saying.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yes, it does. But, yeah.
I've gotten good at not laughing at it. Like, you tend to laugh more at stuff like and break than I do, which is kind of impressive because you were like the improv guy.
Whatever. Funny's funny, man. I'm going to acknowledge when something's funny. But I like the idea, though, swinging it all the way back, just the idea that the Lakers are possibly looking towards something with a little bit of continuity because it'd be nice.
I mean, look, we'll see what happens here. What's completely insane about this whole scenario is that the Lakers are 500. They are, you know, these guys are probably not going to be in uniform tomorrow. They're going to be playing shorthanded against a really good Milwaukee team.
That the Lakers have beaten.
They've won 8 in a row, 9-10. And there is a really good chance the Lakers are going to fall 500 with 26 games remaining in the season. And you can look at this trade and say, there's a good chance of getting them in the playoffs. Not even just like the play-in part of the playoffs. Not even just the home game part of the playoffs. But let's say they have a stretch here where the Lakers go and win, say, 10 of 12. Not totally out of line, not totally crazy. That would probably jump them up to sixth. That's insane.
They have been.
That is insane.
The Lakers have not been at 500 this entire season other than the season opener when they were 0-0.
They haven't been at 500 after 0-0 since they were 24-24 last year.
Like,
by the way, this year is making last year, like last year they were a 500 team 50 games into the season.
Ironically though, this team is better. This team is actually better than last year's team. Like it is a better, even pre-trade, even with Russell Westbrook still on the roster and the awkwardness of all of that, even with all of the guard-heavy, three-guard, occasionally four-guard lineups that Darvin Ham was either forced to throw out, opting to throw out there, a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B, whatever, still a better constructed roster than last year. Like, there's a reason teams don't want to fall 2-10 to begin the season.
It's tough. It's tough.
Like, that's put them so far behind the eight ball with this season. But again, this trade, if nothing else, again, for people who aren't aware, D'Angelo Russell, Jared Vanderbilt, Malik Beasley coming to the Lakers. Lakers sending out Russell Westbrook, Juan Toscano-Anderson, Damian Jones to Utah, along with a lightly protected first-round pick.
Just a sprinkle, a dusting of protection. 1-4.
1-4. They just need the energy and the sense of purpose that's going to come with this.
Andy and I, you know, on the podcast, record the day before for the next day, and so we did like the rumor mill about this trade. And both of us talked about this, like something felt broken with the game on Tuesday. And if they don't come out and do something and the deadline goes past, and like Jeannie was talking to Fox Sports and was saying, you know, we'll do anything to improve the team, but we're not going to mortgage the future and do something stupid and all that. Fine. Great. Okay. I mean, nobody, even the most dedicated Laker fan isn't asking you to make a bad trade. Like nobody wants you to do something dumb. Nobody wants that. But if it's just like, hey, you know, we tried, there wasn't anything out there, whatever. You feel like you go into Thursday's game and something could give in a way that instead of, hey, win 5-7, 10-12, 11-16 or whatever, and you know, stack some wins up as Darvin likes to say. And by the end of the season, you're at least in the play. You got a chance. Like they could lose 7-9, 10-12 or whatever it is. And now LeBron is calling it quits for the season, and you know, because that foot is not in good shape, and you know, you figure out a way to preserve AD, and like the whole thing just, maybe I was overreacting to just the mood on Thursday, but you see what AD looked like. You see Russ arguing with Darvin Ham at halftime, and he's gotten into it with Phil Handy a couple. It's just like, yeah, the energy shifted, and now. You lose that game on Thursday, fine. You're shorthanded. It's Milwaukee. But now you can roll, win a couple games before the break, roll out of the break with some continuity because you get practice time with the new guys. And let's see what happens.
Again, the energy after Anthony Davis' return has not been what I thought it would be, and I don't think it's what they thought it would be. I think they thought Anthony Davis returning would feel like something new, something for them to all latch onto, something that would reinvigorate them, and that they would be benefiting from a level of play that we saw from Anthony Davis before that injury. And AD hasn't played at that level consistently at all, and that's an issue.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, the team just has not seemed reinvigorated from it.
Right, and this should help. Like they've been remarkably competitive this year with a pretty soft roster, but the it's all been based on. If Anthony Davis plays like that guy played for like, you know, whatever it was, a month, and LeBron is playing at an all NBA level, then the rest of the supporting cast is good enough. But what we've found is if either one of those things doesn't happen, if LeBron has an off night, if Anthony Davis was what he was on Tuesday, they can't compete. Now you have D'Angelo Russell. Yeah, like they'll have to figure out some rotation stuff. They got a lot of guards again. You've improved the Lonnie Walker spot with Malik Beasley, guys who are just more dependable as shooters. And you've added some really badly needed wing defense with Jared Vanderbilt. And I'm looking at Dan Wakey from the LA Times, says that the debuts for these new Laker players are expected to be Saturday when the Lakers are in San Francisco to play the Warriors. They've got to pass physicals and things like that. Do you think you could pass a physical at this point? Like an NBA physical?
My doctor keeps saying I'm fine. Yeah, I get a physical every year.
I feel like I would fail that.
You know what? I don't know if you'd fail the physical. There's like nothing wrong with you other than you're not.
I'm pretty sure there is.
I don't actually know.
If you start taking pictures of things like in my body and the joints, I don't think that's going to go well.
I don't know. I feel like I would pass the physical. They would just say, we don't want you anyway. Like, congratulations, but got no need for you. The other thing too, man, like, and I want to preface this by saying, I think for the most part, Russell Westbrook was very professional this year. I think he embraced a role that he did not want as well as I think you could reasonably expect somebody of his stature to do something they don't really want to do. But even with that being said, praising him, there's just that cloud of Westbrook. Like, there is that element of always needing to kind of, I don't want to say totally walk on eggshells, but being careful, or everything's a potential story.
Sounds like a novel from the 60s, The Cloud of Westbrook. Like, but here's the thing.
Every time he doesn't play in the fourth quarter, he gets asked about
and,
this.
You know, and look, I mean, like every turnover is incredibly loud. Every assist is incredibly loud. It's just, Russ has played the role that they've asked him to play. He hasn't changed how he's played.
Nope.
Like, at all. He's still, and this is one of the things that I just think on now it's like not even kind of my problem anymore to the extent that this ever was. But like, you know, like it's, I'm really curious, like what happens now if he goes to the Clippers? Is it as a sixth man? Does he go somewhere else expecting to be a starter? Does he sign his next contract expecting to be a starter? Is this some sort of exit ramp for the whole sixth man thing, which seemed to be a thing that might extend his career, even with the Lakers. Like, 2 weeks ago, by the way, I was wrong. I really, at this point, was convinced they were going to finish the season with Westbrook on the roster.
So did I.
And so, like, it had gotten to the point where you start saying to yourself, well, do they keep him next year? Like, if you could sign him for $10 million, do you keep him? Because he's better than anything else. Like, well, that's where we were.
They were also potentially in a position, if they did not move Westbrook, they were potentially in a position where they might have to re-sign him.
Mm.
Like, other than trying to find a sign-and-trade scenario with Russell Westbrook for the type of player that they wanted. Yeah, good luck with that one. Like, I don't
best
care.
Best of luck in your senior year, as they say.
Yeah, I mean, whoever you think is the best GM in the entire league or league history couldn't pull that one off.
I do like this tweet. This is from Brad Turner. Sources say the Lakers are excited to get young players, D'Angelo Russell, Malik Beasley, and Jared Vanderbilt. I would hope so.
I've always had.
I will say, like, they've added Jared Vanderbilt's 23, Hachimura's 25, Russell's 26, and Malik Beasley's 26. Like, this is good. This is, you know, if you're going to be putting together some dudes that you might want to keep for next year, and I'm not, again, the Beasley and Vanderbilt will almost surely be on the team next year unless they're flipped for something else. Russell, we'll see. Depends on how much money he wants. Depends on how he fits with LeBron and AD. Depends on whether or not he can even kind of defend at a credible level enough to make it so Darvin, you know, will use him. But, like, that's the direction you want to go. You want to be adding dudes in their early 20s, especially if you're a team that doesn't have draft capital and doesn't have access to people. Like, this is the right way to do it.
Or, and I think Funchy will understand what I'm talking about here. My immediate reaction when this was a rumor, because I've always had a soft spot for D'Angelo Russell. We covered those teams. We were around them all the time. I loved the kids. I loved that era. I liked them all individually as players and people, but collectively, I just thought they were a really fun group with a lot of interesting potential, if nothing else. When I saw just this rumor that the Lakers might bring back D'Angelo Russell, my immediate reaction was just, I want him to go all the way and make this the first step of reuniting the sweater kids from the GQ shoot. I wanted to see them bring back Jordan Clarkson, Brandon Ingram, Julius Randle, find a way to bring back Kuz, Larry Nance.
That's what
Jr.,
the Lakers do.
Josh
Isn't that
Hart?
The Lakers deal? Like, the Lakers get the band back together.
Bring them all back.
Ah, here it goes. It's still going. This
Funchy,
from,
how do you feel about this? Bring them all back.
Ugh, come on,
this
man.
From Jake Fisher. The Lakers have put in an inquiry for Bogdan Bogdanović. That's the Atlanta one. Boyan, Detroit. Bogdan. Atlanta.
For Pat Bev?
It would be Pat Bev and Lonnie Walker in theory. Draft compensation would seem to be necessary for Atlanta to move him. So if you're wondering what they might do with that other pick, because let's be honest, if you're going to trade one of them, you might as well trade both of them if it's for a player that you think you might want to carry forward. And, like, the world we live in now, where, like, Rudy Gobert is traded for, like, six of these things, and, you know, Donovan Mitchell brings in young players and, what was it, three or four picks, I believe it was. Like,
something like that.
One first-round pick, that's not a lot of stuff. You don't go into, like, that's bringing a knife to a gunfight. If you could get a guy like Bogdan Bogdanović, who's a good player, not old, spaces the floor, does a few other things well, like, that's a guy that now, again, you're talking about building a credible roster for next year. It's not...
He's 30. He's 30.
But he's not 35,
no,
is
but
my
he's,
point.
But just so people understand, he's not young. He would not be part of a young core you're bringing in.
I look at 30 like it's young. But, you know... He's not a 36. He's not Jay Crowder, who's, you know, older, or guys,
he's,
you know,
close to 31. He's not young.
But he carries himself like he's 29. That's all I'm saying. So, like, I feel like, but, you know, you can have Bogdan Bogdanović on your roster for 2 or 3 years and expect him to be a productive player. Like, now you're talking about a roster that if you could bring in a guy like Bogdanović, okay, you're not going to make a first-round pick for a little while. You got one, maybe. But it's a roster that has continuity. It has shooting. It has, you know, a little bit of length where you need length. It's like it has, quite frankly, all the stuff people have been very politely asking the Lakers to do for the last couple of years.
Well, he also, too, and this gets back to that point that I had been making about wanting to see them try to make moves that could be in some way building next year's team. Now, he has a player option next year for $18 million.
Which he probably picks up?
I don't know.
Or only shreds it if he knows he's getting a better deal.
Right, exactly. But either way, though, if they make this deal, Beverly and Lonnie Walker, two guys that definitely are not going to be on the team next year. I would be stunned if Patrick Beverly's on the team next year. I would be...
not a prayer.
I don't think there's enough clutch connection in the world to have Lonnie Walker on the team again next year. You know, Lonnie's been fine, but not great enough.
Well, here's the thing. Like, we all knew that if Walker played really well, he would be too expensive for the Lakers to sign.
Because
and if you could
afford
him, it probably means he didn't play that well.
Right. So they have an opportunity. Again, if nothing else, there is more possibilities with the move that they made today and this report that they could be looking to move Patrick Beverly, who I kind of feel bad about because he tweeted out, like, gang back together, a picture of him and D'Angelo Russell because they played together in Minnesota. But again, you start looking at the idea of a cohesive unit, and that has been my biggest criticism of Rob Pelinka, which is that he doesn't seem to care about that sort of stuff. The organization just seems interested in collecting stars, which is obvious.
I don't think we're quite at, I'm just literally, like, based on, like, people who listen to our show, whatever it might be, like, I owe Rob Pelinka an apology. No, I don't. But, like, because getting out of it is, if the Lakers can emerge from this, it's like, wow, that is about as good of an ending as you could ask for. You might, if you know, you turn that second pick into Bogdanovich, let's say. Either one, pick a Bogdanovich. It's fine. Now you've got four players for the two picks and players that you don't need. You have guys who you can keep. You can trade. You can do something. You have the ability to do a little bit of roster continuity and all that kind of stuff going forward. It would be about the best solution that I think you could come up with, given where the Lakers were and what assets they had and the challenges that were facing Pelinka in the front office. But, like, you don't get, like, an apology, because the only reason they're there is because of the stuff that they did.
Well, you don't get an apology.
But you get a pat on the back and attaboy.
If nothing else, you get belief, like, or the opportunity to have belief in you. Like, because, you know, there had been some belief in Rob Pelinka after that 2020 championship. And as much as he should get credit as the head basketball man in charge when that team was put together, because you're supposed to get credit for that. No matter what you thought of Jim Buss, he was second in command when the Lakers won the titles in 2009 and 2010. That goes on, if Jim Buss has a resume, it goes on his resume.
I don't think he does.
But the reality is there were a lot of specific things that came together that year for Rob Pelinka that really had nothing to do with Rob Pelinka. Like Danny Green waiting around for Kawhi Leonard to decide what he's going to do. It was great that Pelinka kept him hip-pocketed, but if Danny Green had played for any other team than Toronto, he wouldn't have been on the market. Dwight Howard worked out, but the only reason they went after Dwight is DeMarcus Cousins got hurt. You know, like Anthony Davis, that was not a deal that Rob Pelinka necessarily
you're not
going to
have done that. You're not going to make that one, right?
Or whatever.
Okay, so I mean, like, the reenactment of that is, how about all of that stuff that I just mentioned and this guy? More. Okay, how about all that and this guy and this? More. Okay, a pick swap. Okay, fine. Now we're done.
Right.
I just look at this.
But this could be just at least signs of Pelinka thinking more expansively, and I like it.
I don't pretend to be as there are people in this city who are more emotional, like deeply emotionally invested in the Lakers. Like, and I get, like, in ways that I'm not in the same way.
I am.
Right. That you are, that other fans or people grew up in it. Like, I mean, I've been around the team a long time. I find the players to be interesting. I want them to win. I love it when they're winning. It's good for the city. It's fun. It's much more fun, like, when you cover the team, to cover a team that's exciting and winning and all this stuff. Bad teams are a drag to cover. But, like, I actually, especially if they pull this one off, given where the Western Conference is, am 100% fully willing to talk myself into being kind of optimistic about the last 26 games of the season.
If nothing
like
else.
Genuinely, like, huh? Because, like, if the Lakers can get, look who is in that mix of, like, you know, 1 through 10. The Jazz are I don't want to say they're waving the white flag, but they're clearly saying, if we don't make it in, we don't make it in. It's been a successful season already, better than we could have imagined. We're good. The Timberwolves, playing better, but you never know. The Pelicans, if they get Zion back, are a thing. The Warriors have a problem because they don't have Steph. The Mavs, the Kyrie thing, maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. The Suns are together. There are a lot of good teams in the West, but if the Lakers can get in and LeBron is playing like LeBron has been playing and Anthony Davis is playing like he was before he got hurt, like that is a team that legitimate, that is not blowing smoke. That's not we carry the games here. That's like MVP caliber LeBron, MVP caliber Anthony Davis plus six reasonable rotation players is a threat to some of these teams. I'm not saying they win, but it's a threat.
And speaking of MVP caliber LeBron, and we're going to, in about hopefully 10 or so minutes, talk with Allie Clifton. You know her from Spectrum Sportsnet, hosting Access Lakers, Lakers postgame, all sorts of stuff over at the network. She covered LeBron in Cleveland in addition to the time now with the Lakers. So she's a really good source when it comes to just LeBron's just path.
The arc.
Yeah, the arc.
The arc of LeBron.
And now that especially, I think Laker fans are in a much better mood than they were.
I know I am.
This morning.
I mean, I'm assuming if I'm in a better mood than everyone else
we
is.
Can put a little, we can start putting what LeBron did yesterday.
I may actually put that out on a poll. Are you in a better mood now?
Yeah, do that. Do that. At Cam Brothers. You can vote on this. LeBron, as everybody knows, passes Kareem. He is now the all-time leading scorer in NBA history. These are the other places where LeBron currently resides, and it is staggering. Second all-time for made field goals. Kareem, by the way, this is the record Kareem holds that ain't getting broken anytime soon. He still got like 1,500 field goals over LeBron. Like that is, I was not aware of this until I heard Mark Spears talk about it a little while ago on a Hoop Collective podcast. It's a staggering one, but he's second.
Well, it tells you what it is to pile up 38,000 and change before the three-point line.
Yeah.
Like, you need a lot more field goals to get there.
Yes, you do. He's third, and these are just regular season, by the way. Playoff, basically, he owns them all. He's third in minutes played, fourth in assists, fourth in free throws made, fifth in free throws attempted, fifth in scoring average, ninth in three-pointers made, 10th in steals, 11th in games played, 35th in rebounds, which, by the way, basically everybody ahead of him is a center or like a true power forward. 93rd in blocks. Basically everybody ahead of him is 7 feet tall. There are not many people LeBron's size remotely around him. He's even first in turnovers and second in missed field goals, which speaks to how much goes into compiling those type of numbers like LeBron.
The only reason I even respond like in this way to what you just said there is like people turn around and they say, well, he's first in turnovers. That's, you know, he's got the ball in his hands. It's 20 years and whatever. And like there is a tendency to look at LeBron and what he's accomplished as in part a function or perhaps even in a large part, a function of longevity, particularly if you're a Jordan guy. And obviously that is true. Like you need to play 1,400 games like LeBron has to have a chance to score 38,000 points. Like you can't do it. I saw somebody say on Twitter, like, oh, well, KD will catch him. Like give it a go. Kevin Durant's 34 years old and is 10,000 points behind a still active LeBron. He'd have to average, I think somebody did the math on the thread, 25 points a game for 82 games a year for the next 7 years if LeBron quit today.
He's not playing 82 games.
He's not playing 82 games. He's not playing 7 years. So
right.
Kevin Durant is not. So, yeah, you got Funchy. I don't mean to put you on. Do you know where LeBron ranks all time in points per game?
Points per game. I think his average is like 27.2. I'd say.
Not including last night.
I'd say like 15th all time.
Fifth.
Fifth, really?
Fifth.
Get out of here.
Fifth.
Man.
So like you talk about LeBron not being a scorer. He's fifth points per game. Fifth all time. I looked this up. Carmelo Anthony, who is like considered one of the great scorers of this or any other generation, has had four seasons where he's averaged more than LeBron's career average. And one of those was by 0.2 of a point.
Yeah, I actually got a game coming up in the second hour of LeBron stats trivia.
You know what got over LeBron, though? He was in Conan the Barbarian.
I thought you were going to say something else.
Something else. That too, but Conan the Barbarian, though.
That is a record that I don't think will ever be broken. The one that
Even
I'm talking about.